Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Happy Halloween! We're recording this on Halloween. It's coming out in November. But it's welcome to Grey's Academy on the Spooky Day. And we are your favorite spooky and not spooky hospital Grey's Anatomy podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a spooky full day for a podcast.
Amazing. And so
incredible.
True.
Also, this episode will come out on Marlo's birthday, which is crazy.
And the first day of November, which is an important month if you live in this country and you have not already voted. Please vote on or before November 5th. So, good stuff.
And because this is the last episode that we will have releasing until
pre-election.
post-election. Yeah. Just, you know, whatever happens, you guys.
We're going to make it.
We're going to make it, even if we have to move away.
We'll figure it out.
I actually, like, that's one of those things that I'm like, typing up this message to like, my new team. And I'm like, guys, look, there's going to be tears, maybe. Hopefully tears of joy for some of us. Especially for the women, hopefully tears of joy in the country again. Yeah, just, you know, we are here for you and your audible listening pleasure, regardless of what happens. Like, we cannot be canceled unless I say something truly egregious.
I was like, we definitely can be, because we say a lot of shit, but we hope not to be.
Right. Hope to not be canceled. But if that is the cross that we bear for our comedic...
So be it.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of canceling and comedy, the guy who said that there is a pile of trash floating in the middle of the ocean and called it one of... I'm not going to get into it right now. But, like, to say, oh, he's a comedian, he's a roast specialist, blah, blah, blah. Like, read the room.
Also, it still has to be a little bit funny.
Yeah. Also, yeah. When you watch these, like, did you watch the roast of Tom Brady?
No, but well, I don't like him. But I don't really watch any of the roasts.
The roasts, well, there's certain things that I'm like, maybe we shouldn't be saying that. And then some people will be like, oh, but that's comedy. You have to just get over it. No, just like,
I do feel like with the roasts,
dicks.
Yes, I agree with you. And I do feel like with the roast, the context of the friendship is important because most of those people are friends with the person they're roasting. The way that you and I talk to each other is not the same way we are going to talk to strangers on the street.
Like, well, you might still.
I'm more likely to, but still unlikely unless I'm motivated.
Not enough Covfefe in your life for that.
But yeah, I just, I think that in the roasts to a person, the context of the relationship is important.
Yeah. The roast to an entire nation, an
ethnicity.
For
no reason.
A people.
Whatsoever. Yeah. Other than to like be quote unquote edgy. Let me tell you, you can be funny without being edgy, or you can be edgy in a funny way. He didn't do either.
Yeah. Goodness. Anyways, we're not going to let that. We're not even going to say this person by name because he's a, you know, turd bucket.
Bag of garbage.
Still a piece of garbage.
Shout outs? All of our people on Discord sharing their Halloween costumes. So cute.
Yes. What are you guys going as?
I'm going to be wearing a sweatshirt and leggings. And my children are going to be Lightning McQueen and Spin from Spidey.
Nice.
Yes. So that's what we're doing.
What are Scarlett and Bennett going as?
Those things that I just said.
Wait, you said you're spin. Wait, sorry. Say
no,
it again.
No. I'm wearing a sweatshirt and leggings, and my children, Scarlett will be Spin, and Bennett will be Lightning McQueen.
Oh, in my defense, all of those sounded just like it was your costume, and I was confused a little bit. Also, in my defense, they're. Never mind. I'm not going to get it. I'll send it to you offline. We'll take this one offline.
Yeah.
Marlo currently is at school as a purple dragon named Marlo. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then we're coming home and we're doing Toy Story. So I'll be Buzz. Marlo is Woody. Jessica is Jessie. Perfect. Jess's parents are Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. Mm-hmm. And then one of the boys is an alien, and one of the boys is Forky. So,
incredible.
Yeah. Hope everyone is safe. If anyone has any leftover Reese's or Skittles, we will accept donations.
So
got any shout outs, friend?
I'm sure I do. I've gotten a couple of emails that I cannot share on the interwebs with us because they're very spoilery.
Oh, okay.
But,
can we shout out the people?
Yeah. Jane sent me a very long email that I really am wanting to respond to, but it's so well typed out and thought out, but it has so many thoughts and a lot of them are spoilers. So I must not share.
That is a lot. Oh, my goodness. Jane, thank you for the time that you took to write that.
She said she wanted to email us because she listens on Spotify, so she can't leave us a review. But she says she enjoys it a lot. And then also to Aaron, sent an email saying that she recently found us and she's enjoying it. She's still a ways away. She's still in like season 3.
Okay.
And then I got an Instagram message that I will absolutely share because it is pro me.
Okay.
This might be the same error.
Was this
AI generated?
This is a bot.
Kelsey,
this isn't even real.
I'm late to the game and on episode season 4, episode 6. But George and Izzy have zero chemistry. You are right, and Carmen is wrong.
Hey, Aaron, you suck.
Hey, that's not nice.
I'm just kidding. Aaron, you're great. I love you.
So, those are mine. Oh, and then I just want to say thank you to everyone who messaged me or wrote on our Discord. Congratulations about the baby. We have
hell yeah.
Thank you. And also shout out to me for being a moron because Michael and I were going to tell Kelly in person and then we didn't see her.
Oh no.
And was like, you're having a girl? And I was like, who told you that? And she was like, you said it on the podcast. And I was like, ah, fuck.
Dang.
So
that is
on me.
So funny.
I mean, we had already told her that I was pregnant. We told her that
right.
In person. We were going to tell her it was a girl in person. And then she just heard it on the podcast. And I was like, I am very dumb.
But you know what? That makes it a little bit more special.
It was
I think, because of the comedic story. Also, Kelly, if you're listening to this, I have a lot of travel that I'm doing lately. So if you want to make me a personal, customized...
don't do anything for him.
...thing. No, okay. If you would stop interrupting me like a typical cis white woman...
wow,
okay.
Carmen hates women right before the election. Wow. I wonder who Carmen's voting for.
Guys, J.D. Vance is my hero.
Don't say it.
All I want to do is
people will put it on the internet and you cannot take it away.
I want to fuck couches like the best of them, like the best of him. Never mind. I can't. This is so, it's so fucking dumb. I can't even continue this joke. He's a turd bucket.
Okay, do your shout outs.
Anyways, okay. And we don't fuck couches without their consent. Kelsey almost just spit out her drink. All right. So first off, want to shout out Joanna. Had reached out to her on Sunday. She followed me on Instagram. She, as like so many of our listeners, gets sad when they get to the end. However, she was in Patreon and she had just followed me like after the Patreon thing. So we were getting connected kind of like after the fact. But she said, first off, my humor is the best. She said, you're to me amazing. Maybe she was talking about the royal you're, but I'm going to take it as a compliment directly towards me. But she loves when you and I disagree, and she loves our banter there. And don't worry, Joanna, there is never a shortage of our disagreements.
So true.
But she also, when the way that you don't react is like, she's like, I just love that. Like, you really keep it. You keep it close to the chest. And what else did she say? We haven't gotten to her favorite episode, but she does love the musical. The season 2 finale too. Loves the season 2 finale. Anything. She also was a big fan of the Izzy Denny connection in the hospital. So that was a big one there. Shout out to another new friend, Katrina. This is still a ways away for you. She said that she's 8 episodes away from the season 3 ending. So you've got quite a ways to catch up, pal. So when you do get here, Katrina, really, really excited. She said Grey's Anatomy is my longest committed relationship. She's been watching since the beginning. So
honestly, same. Because,
yeah.
You know, 21 seasons.
That's insane.
That's time.
She loves what I'm right and wrong about, but she said no spoilies. And then again, she's like, she loves that we have the self-control and we do one episode at a time. Kudos to you for, again, not spoiling anything.
It's hard. There's been a couple times where I've almost slipped.
I know. You're doing so, so great. I love it so much. Omira, just want to shout you out. I know that this year of school has been really, really tough, but you got this. She sent me this meme that was really funny, and she said, I see you, Carmen. It was the guy, this guy, what's his name? Steve Buscemi. Thank you. I would have gotten there eventually. Me embarrassing my children with my tenuous grasp of their slang. Skibbity hawk to a fellow gigachads, mogging hard or hardly rizzing.
Let me just say, Spirit Halloween has the skibbity toilet Halloween costume, and no one can tell me how to use skibbity in a sentence.
Yeah, no one needs to.
I don't need to use it, but I need to know.
Yeah. And then also shout out to Brianna. She had sent me this European family doing a rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody, but it was anti-Trump.
Oh, yeah, she sent that as well.
Loved it. I think I have one more. Just shout out to Maddie getting back from her trip. shout out to Megan, our friend Megan. She had another video that went pretty viral. So great job for you, my friend. And last one. Just shout out to our friend Lake. I know she's over in Orlando, but she, when I was in Tampa, she'd give me a couple of recommendations for tacos. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get there. They were super far away from where I was. But just really, really glad to hear from you, old friend. Thanks for catching up. I think that's it.
Also, shout out to all of you for your patience with the schedule change.
Yes.
Cannot do the late nights, so Carmen graciously pivoted. And that is why we ended up, we are doing a daytime recording on Halloween. But yes, the late nights are becoming increasingly difficult for me to be a part of, as I am so tired every day on like 10 hours of sleep. So it's hard for me to be able to function on like 5 hours of sleep. Especially yeah. Right now, I'm still in the midst of the many, many wedding seasons. So I have a wedding tomorrow that I'm doing on
nice.
My birthday. Which is why I cannot come to Chicago to spend it with you all.
Just tell them to reschedule the wedding.
I know, right? so, yes, thank you all for your patience when we have to pivot. I appreciate it muchly. And that is all of that. And now we shall discuss the television show.
Probably the greatest episode that they've ever written.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not the greatest, but it is a really good one.
Spoilers, we like this one. This definitely would have been one that, like, when I was just casually watching this all the time, it would pop into my head and I would be like, oh, I really want to watch this episode. And then just kind of, like, let it go from there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would pop up in my head. It's like, oh, that's a good one. So I really enjoy this one a lot, and we will discuss it at length. This is the fourth episode of the eighth season, episode 152 overall, and it is called What Is It About Ben? And that is a song.
Yes, it is. And this song is not what I don't know what I was envisioning in my head.
It's
of
Amy
this
Winehouse.
Song.
Yeah, so I saw that. I was like, interesting. I don't know what that would
could
be anything.
So the What Is It About Men was released off of the album Frank by Amy Winehouse, October 20th, 2003 by Island Records. So I don't listen to a ton of Amy Winehouse. I have nothing against her as a human person. It's just there's not a lot of songs that I felt like really speak to me and my soul. The song was just kind of okay. I feel like I was envisioning more of like a beat kind of similar to that. I remember when. I don't know what song that is. It's like it's eluding me right now. But anyways, I don't know why in my head I was thinking like that was kind of like a beat that this was going to have. Also, because I watched the episode and then listened to the song. I don't know why sometimes those things form perceptions in my head as well. But anyways, the album itself, charted in quite a few countries, actually. It was very well received. Top 100 in a ton of different countries. Top 50 in the following. Australia. Austria. Don't forget to tell James Franco. Those are different places. Belgium. Canada. Croatia. The Czech Republic. France. Germany. Greece. Hungary. Ireland. Italy. Mexico. New Zealand. Poland. Scotland, the UK, and the United States, where it actually hit number 3 in the UK albums charts, number 33 in the US Billboard Hot 200, and then it hit 26 on the hip-hop albums, and then 25 on the Tastemaker albums Billboard. I don't really know what that is, but
it's an interesting title for a music list,
but it was on the U.S. top Tastemaker albums, so I don't really know what the fuck that is, but so yeah, it did really well. This song did not make it to my iTunes library. I also both objectively and subjectively, did not think that the song was that great. So it's going to get a 2 from me on both fronts, and it did not make it to my iTunes library. And with that, Kelsey, take it away.
I shall. This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by our good friend Tom Verica, a.k.a. Sam Keating. It aired October 6th, 2011. We're very close to like lining up with when episodes aired and when we are recording them.
I love
We're
that.
We're so close. This episode dropped significantly. So last we were over 10, and this one we are at 8.7 million views.
Whoa! I am personally offended.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what the tea was. The Netflix and Hulu synopsis are the same. It is a stampede at a comic book convention leads to an influx of patients.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one's good. You know, we both really enjoyed this one. Before we get too into it, I think just like on a macro sense, I like it when they do Grey's. It's like they're telling the same stories. They're just doing it a little differently. But I like something like this. Like, this could be the show.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously it's not because it's not from Meredith's point of view. But, like, it's not so different like the documentary or the musical or anything like that. But it's still just like it's from a different point of view. Obviously, the guys are all the voiceover. And I just like a different perspective sometimes, because it's like we know so intimately like the Meredith storyline, and honestly, like we know a lot of the storylines that we're seeing. It's just interesting to like put a different perspective on it.
Yeah,
like a different kind of like
just a new flavor. You know,
the show is, I would say, third person limited for the most part. It's told like from Meredith's point of view, essentially.
Yeah.
Like occasionally, like we obviously see other storylines, and they have other episodes kind of where they're like focusing more on one or two other people. But to flip it so much where it's like all the guys, I just think it's interesting. And I think it's really an enjoyable episode of television.
And also one of the things I really have appreciated about this episode is most episodes of Grey's, I think there's a suspension of full reality. Like, there's times where they'll have a situation and I'm like, there's no way that real people are reacting like this. And when even the opening scene where April's doing laundry and she's reaming Alex for the panties and Jackson's like, oh, no, those are Lexi's. And he covers for Alex and they have little elbow touches. Yeah. Like, that is, it's just
genuine.
That feels like something that I would, to the things that we've known about Alex and Jackson, the ways that they've overcome, like, remember just
when they punched each other?
When they punched each other and they smashed through a table when Christina decided she was going to go and buy an entire furniture store worth of stuff for her apartment in one day for a party. Also, in that moment, it occurred to me that Jackson, Alex, and Mark are all wiener cousins.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why it took that scene for me to be like, oh, wow, that's so funny. I forgot.
Yeah.
George was almost a wiener cousin, too, but he missed his shot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So, anyways, there was just a lot of funny things about this episode, and it wasn't like any of the reactions or the way it wasn't like there was anything about any of these characters that we saw in this episode were out of the already established arcs of who they are as people. And that's what I like. It wasn't like they were just doing something just totally up in the air. To your point, it felt like a real true Grey's episode. So,
yeah. Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel divisive the way that, like, the documentary one, people are like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's still, like you said, it's still an episode of Grey's. It's just, like, a different focus point.
Yeah. And no one died.
Always a win.
Always a win.
Some people came close, though.
Man, I need to share with you guys. Shonda truly has ruined me.
Yeah.
When Owen was holding Sophia on the deck at the end of the episode, I'm like, oh dear God, the house is going to collapse on them. And this is how they kill off Owen and Sophia.
Oh my God.
I just like, and even like when the, you know how they're looking at the deck at the end and the bottle was rolling. They were looking at, like, their head went to a comedic moment of, oh, it's not level. In my head, I'm like, oh, no, it's going to roll, and it's going to land on a nail gun, and it's going to hit Derek in the brain. Like, he's dead.
God.
I'm serious. These are, like, real thoughts that I had watching this episode. I am ruined. I can't even enjoy TV anymore.
Yeah. This, I was watching, I think it was an episode of The Resident, and they showed someone leaving, and then they showed it again, and then they showed it a third time, and I was like, that person's dying.
Yeah.
I was like, why did you just show me that person three times? Like, no way are they living. Like, what are you doing?
They're trying to establish an emotional connection to tear this person out of my life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't with this show sometimes, but I legit thought Derek is going to die.
Everyone was dying.
Yeah, and they were hitting those nails so hard. And when Owen handed Jackson the saw, I'm like, this is death. Death is waiting to happen here.
Well, because, and then he's just like doing, in air, which is not safe. Don't do that.
No. Okay, where do you want to, now that I've like gone off on the rails and just like shared my trauma openly to the world here, where should we go now?
Let's start with Owen as the chief. So Owen is chiefing it up. He is mad that he, you know, someone in Discord made a good point of like, we constantly have these people like vying for these positions, chief resident, chief of surgery, then they get them and then they're like, oh, there's so much admin. I never get to operate anymore. And everyone's always surprised by that.
Right.
And I'm like, didn't you ever talk to anyone else who has done this job? Which is a fair point.
Yeah.
This time with Owen, it does feel different because it's not like before in season two or whatever it was, two or three, when Richard was trying to retire and he was like getting all of the doctors to pitch new plans, like, or new, like why they should be the chief. It wasn't like this battle. It was just so done like behind the scenes. So then it was just Owen. So to me, I'm like, it's a little different, but like, yes, there was still excitement that he did get the job. But then again, we see the immediate like, oh, I miss medicine. I have a tie on. Blah.
Yeah, it's also a fun dynamic to watch Weber. He is truly having his cake and eating it too. He's picking his own lane.
He's such a little chaos goblin in this episode.
I actually did not hate Hunt in this episode.
I agree. Last scene, I was like, this is the tea. This is how I would react in this scenario.
Absolutely.
The last scene in the hospital with the patient.
Yeah. Clear. And then, like, even Weber, who, remember when there was a string of Weber and we're like, dude, you kind of suck.
Yes.
Weber was so funny. And I think, again, you talk about how Grey's really brings it back to what they are as a show, because there was the opening episode, Meredith and Derek are fighting. You have
but
the scene.
But, like, not. It's just, like, this tense, like, they're trying to figure out how to exist in their new reality that, quote-unquote, fixes what the problem was before.
Right. And then even you have the Weber storyline, which, again, maybe it's adding to kind of rooting for Weber, but there's, like, he peppers in Adele. We don't see Adele,
yeah,
but the idea
sure
of Adele.
Is trying to definitely make sure everyone's, like, on his side because... Again, he's just funny in this episode. Like, he's trying to...
Finding his fucking joy, dude.
He's trying... And he's trying to share that with other people, too. Like, he's not only just, like, bebopping around doing stuff for him. He, like, wants to remind other people, like, where the joy is in surgery and, like, make sure they're appreciating what they have while they have it. And then it's, like, obviously just the little reminders of what he's going through with Adele. I do definitely think they're very much, like, wanting the audience to be 100% on Richard's side again.
Yeah. So, and yeah, we'll circle back to him a little bit because there's some really good scenes that involve Weber. So there, the scene where all of this trauma starts to come in and Owen is like, oh yeah, like this is so awesome. We got a big accident coming. And Weber is on the heels of this. He's like, he's trolling. He's like, I need something. I need to get into, give me a big old accident. So Owen like gets to the door, sees things starting to come in. And then his, I don't know if it's an assistant or if it's another admin person is just like, hey, Owen, don't forget, like you have
come sign
a thousand
a bunch of
things
shit.
To sign. Yeah.
I like the also establishing kind of mentorship that they're peppering in with Richard and Owen as well. Like obviously, again, I believe that Richard had some hand in choosing Owen, so I think he does want to see him succeed. So he's like, oh, you know, put your tie in your belt. You know, oh, yeah, I used to do my paperwork here, too, because you're still, like, out and about in the action, but you're not, like, doing it. And right. Just kind of things like that. And
seeing
then,
the chaos, just what's the word? Whiz by you.
I was like, you're doing great. Owen is, we don't have like a lot, on the Owen Christina front this episode. He just says to Derek, he kind of offhand mentions that he's walking on eggshells at home. And you know, for a lot of these characters, the groundwork has been established. Like surgery is kind of how they blow off steam. And like Owen isn't able to do that anymore, as much as he wants. So that's why Derek invites him to the deck, but
the deck.
So yeah, I agree with you. I don't hate Owen in this episode, but I think it's because we don't see any of him with Christina. It's like,
and that's fair. Yeah. There's
really
no really
hate Derek in this episode either. Since I don't see a lot. I mean, like in the first scene, I get kind of annoyed with him. But I'm also kind of annoyed just with their relationship in general. And I don't know that it's just on him. I feel like they think they've solved this problem, but they haven't actually set like clear boundaries and expectations from one another. So it's not really a solve yet. Like obviously there are times in this episode where I'm like, Derek, okay, take it down a fucking notch. But there, for the most part, I find Derek to be entertaining in this episode. And I like the outside of the hospital bonding that he facilitates, but, with Owen, I think it's funny that everyone's like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's flailing. Mark's like, he's drowning. And Derek's like, he's a decorated war veteran. a decorated military officer.
When he says that's a man with fear in his eyes, and that's like when Derek's like, what do you think got him? The cafeteria line or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so, so funny. And it is, God, it's they have just such great writers, because that is for sure really funny male writing, because when it's Mark, Derek, and Weber all together, and when Mark was like, look, all I'm saying is that when he goes belly up, I'll be ready to jump in, and when Weber goes, you're a good man. Like, it's just fucking funny.
I also think about the writing is, when you pivot and do an episode like this, it shows that the writers know these characters just as well as they know the characters that we see from this perspective. Like they have the connection with all the characters, no matter how surface the storyline normally is for them. And so nothing that happens in this episode is like hard to believe. You know what I mean? Cause it makes it tracks with everything that, that they have previously done on the show.
Yeah.
And like personality wise, everything follows for me.
I completely agree. Also, I completely think that we need to take a quick minute for some regional sponsors, some Halloween themed sponsors. Maybe it might be too late for Halloween.
Maybe they're Thanksgiving themed now.
Oh, or Christmas. Who knows? Capitalism.
do love Christmas.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
And we are back. Thank you, regional sponsors. So let's keep talking about this. So what was I going to say? I was going to say something about, oh yeah, to what you just said. They know these characters. They love these characters. They nurture these characters. There's a lot happening. I love it. Back to the Owen thing, it's I don't know what it is about this show, but every time I see people actually eating, I'm so uncomfortable.
Really?
When he sat there and he actually took a bite out of his sandwich, I'm like, oh, you're a real human who needs actual food nourishment. I feel like to me it makes these people real, and I don't like that. I want them to be fake.
A bizarre thing to say.
I don't like watching people eat food in TV shows.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to, like, sit there and watch him eat the whole sandwich, but, like, a bite isn't going to throw me off.
That'd be a nice time-lapse establishment of, like, how many bites of the sandwich has. So he walked, the scene, he's just drinking a lot at work, opens the whole bottle, and I think that's when we get the first invite to the deck, right?
Yeah. Well, I think, does Derek invite Ben first or Owen first? Owen first.
I think it was Owen. And yeah, shout out, return of Ben Warren.
Yeah. So, yeah, Owen is having a hard time. Derek relates because Derek also was chief for a time. And if you'll remember how that ended, someone shot a lot of people. Not saying it's a one for one to blame, just drawing the connections. And so Derek invites Owen, and Owen's like, I'm going to take control of this job. And then he just gives away everything in his office. He's like, I don't need an office. My office is wherever I am. And then Bailey steals a lamp and glares at him a lot.
That was
interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's like a continuation of the, like, just her being annoyed that Owen's chief now.
Yeah. when they're at the deck, sorry, podcast yawn, when they're at the deck and Owen's like, yeah, dude, I just, you know, I feel like everyone's waiting for me to fail. And, and Derek is like, oh, yeah, totally. Like, we have money on it. Yeah. Doesn't reassure him, doesn't comfort him.
He's like, yes, we've all bet on it. And he's like, but I need you to do a better job because I said you would last at least 6 months.
Yeah. And I got $100 riding on it. So don't screw this up for me, Owen. That's so funny. Yeah.
I like, again, I think what I also like about this episode is I like it when we go places outside of the hospital.
Yeah.
And it's not like sometimes, you know, oh, they go to like the ferry boat crash or they go to the sinkhole, but that's still medical. Like, it's nice when we get to leave the hospital and like just see them also being people. Because this show kind of makes you think there's no time. They don't have other lives. Like, they never, if they're gone, they're just sleeping. So it's nice to kind of get to see that, like, just existing as human beings.
Right. Right.
But not then, eating.
Yeah. You also get, yeah, not eating, just sleeping. That's fine. Or smushing booties. The thing I also like about this deck storyline is you're bringing a lot of people together who don't normally interact.
Yes.
Right. So you're getting,
or if they do interact, it's like facilitated by Christina and Meredith.
Yeah.
Or like facilitated by like Lexi and Meredith. Like, there's always, oh, they're just tangentially like interacting because they're friends, kind of because their girlfriends are friends with each other.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see those friendships be established like individually.
Yeah. Friendships by proximity.
Right.
But yeah. So like the reason Warren gets invited is because, so him and Eli are fighting, which this scene is so, so funny. They're fighting, and then Derek goes full on George Washington and says, Hamilton, take a walk. Jefferson, take a walk. And when he's like, dude, I get that you're mad about Bailey. And he's like, wait, why am I mad about Bailey? And Derek's like, ah! What? No, I didn't say Bailey. You said Bailey. What are you talking about?
No one's mad about Bailey. Bailey, who's Bailey?
Who is Bailey? Gosh. And then the way Derek rubs it in his face, too. But then he invites him. He's like, come to my deck. Come to my deck. Yeah. Don't yell at my nurses,
at first,
male
Derek's,
or female.
At first, Derek's like, I gotta go. I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah. Do you have the full receipts for that interaction? Because that really is funny. I don't know if you have the quotes.
Yes. Tell me if you were surprised about Ben's return. Like, did it catch you off guard?
It did catch me off guard. And we see him in the surgery with Derek, and they're both giving Alex a hard time. Which I think it's also important. Mayfield and 22, that storyline.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Is really funny. I love that.
Yeah, okay. So Derek says, I get why you're mad at the guy, but if you're going to have a fight with Bailey, do it on your own time. Fight about Bailey. Wait. And then Ben's like, no. Bailey's with him. And Derek goes, I should go. And that was the part that really got me. Ben's like, they went to dinner once or twice, or, and Derek says, you really don't want to know. And Ben says, Shepard. And Derek goes, like, don't go into the conference room on 8 or 9 without knocking. And Ben says, come on. And Derek's like, you asked. And Ben says, does she talk about it? This is so good. Derek, yes, she said his hands have a kind of tenderness, some kind of magic. And Ben says, you're an ass. And that's when Derek says, don't yell at my nurses, even the men. just drop a bomb and walk away.
Yeah, that's friendly razzing between
it
men.
It is funny to
finest.
Like, to that's how they tell the story of Ben finding out. And it's fine. Like, I understand that Derek would assume he was arguing with Eli because of Bailey, but it was actually just because of the patient situation. Like, Ben truly
right.
had no idea. But I think it's funny that we as the audience get to see him finding out. Also,
and
then
Derek
later, the
putting
callback,
his foot in his mouth.
Then the callback to it later when Ben's like, had a meeting in the conference room on 8 and it was kind of hard to concentrate.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. It's a good episode, guys.
Even Warren and at the end, like when they are on the deck and Warren and Alex are sitting there and it's like Mark shows up with Sophia and then yells at Derek and yells at Jackson. And then so Mark funny. And Derek are just talking. Like, and then Warren and Alex, he's like, dude, why are we the only ones sitting here holding hammers? And they get up and they go grab beers. Like, that's just... Yeah. There's not a single thing in this episode that I didn't like.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, we might uncover something, but I think for the most part, I was like, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, is there... Oh, okay. We're still technically talking about Owen.
This is all pretty intertwined.
Yeah, it's true. Owen, at the end of the episode... coming in because the giant man in the ER is like beating the shit out of the Hobbit for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And so Owen is like call an OR and tell them for like a potential broken jaw. And the nurse says, or whoever he's talking to, I don't remember, says, is there someone with a broken jaw? And Owen's like, there's fucking about to be, and just levels this giant man. I'm like, honestly, I'm on his side. Multiple people tried to restrain him. He threw off doctors and nurses. He threw off security. He punched security. He's beating this man like within an inch of his life because he said, hey, stop being a dick. Violence is not usually the answer, but there was no other way this man was going down. So Owen punches him.
And also, and then, that's one of those moments where you think back 20 minutes ago, Mark said, that's a man with fear in his eyes. Mark, stop being a goob.
Oh, Mark's having a journey in this episode, too.
Yeah. I would say overall a positive one. It ends positive. Yeah.
So then the board is like, you should probably apologize to the man you punched. He's like, ugh, fine. So he goes in the room, closes all the blinds, and is like, I've been told to apologize, and I shan't do that because you, sir, are a piece of garbage, and I just think I should have punched you.
Yeah, what does he say? I feel good about it. Yeah. Do you have it? Do you have it pulled up? I'll let you just go ahead and... I gotta tell you though, when he was closing those blinds, I was like, Owen, you're not gonna murder this person, are you? We're not going full.
Like, punching is one thing, but murder might be a step too far.
He can't sue me if he's dead, Owen says to himself.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hunt. I am the surgeon who repaired your broken jaw. I am also the guy who broke it. Badass. It's wired shut right now, so I'll do the talking. They want me to come down here and apologize to you, and I want to make something quite clear. I feel good about what I did. I reviewed the security tape, and I easily prevented half a dozen people from being injured by you. You assaulted a girl with a beer bottle. You attacked hospital staff. You put a man on the critical list. You are violent and abusive in front of dozens of witnesses, and I will stand up in any court of law and say just that. I do not apologize for the things I feel good about, and I feel good about this. So if you want to sue, sue. And good luck with your recovery.
That's the one that sent me. Yeah. And he squeaked. Like, that's got to be so much pain.
Oh, yeah, he, like, grabs the jaw, which, I mean, they've said before in this show, like, broken jaws are one of the most painful surgeries to recover from. Mm. And especially if your jaw is wired shut.
Yeah.
Whoo,
yeah.
Lordy B.
Yeah, no thank you. That's crazy. Owen had a great, great shining. And then, honestly, from that scene, even all the way through the end, like, when he's holding Sophia and he's, like, looking up at the stars, like...
Yeah.
Why can't this be the Owen that we get all the time? Why must he because be a crazy person sometimes?
He's not interacting with Christina at all in this episode.
I think it's that, like, this is really,
like,
a metaphor.
It's like the characters in this show can only be good at one thing. They can be good doctors, and they cannot be good at relationships.
Yeah. The point that I was going to make was that maybe the women bring out the worst in these guys. Maybe these are all good people, and it's women's fault.
Carmen hates women.
I'd like to bring it back to my good friend.
Make sure you vote on November 5th.
I'd like to bring it back to my dear, dear friend, my best friend, JT Vance.
I have binders full of women.
I was going to mock them more, but I just can't because it's just so stupid. Even my brain can't comprehend some of the stupidity. The Instagram thing that I was going to send you that I was going to tell you about offline, I'm just going to tell you about now. It was a conversation point of Trump at a rally where he said, I said I was going to be the champion of women, but they said, don't worry, we don't need that. But I don't care. I'm going to do it against their will anyways, and I will be their champion. And I'm like,
that tracks.
There's so much irony in this dumb, dumb statement.
So much to unpack.
Yeah.
And hopefully I won't have to unpack any of it.
We're going to suppress that with the power of voting.
Democracy.
Yes.
So, yeah, anything else on Owen? Like we said, a good episode for Owen.
Yeah, just back to the scene at the deck. Like, I know that there's a lot of things that happen very quickly, but I do want to call out. It's... I'm glad that Christina is not having a baby against her will.
Yes.
Agreed. I can also I think I can also simultaneously say if the Zola situation works out and Derek and Meredith get Zola or Derek and Meredith get pregnant and if Christina and Owen stay together, I think that Owen's going to be a great uncle for that kid.
Yeah.
You know, like he clearly is good with kids. And I'm hoping that he finds joy in other people's kids. Or I hope that this is also an opening door to like spending more time with Sophia because they're Mark and Owen are not friends. And it's not like Owen is super close with Arizona. He has a couple of moments with Callie, but it's not like he would be in a normal spot to be around Sophia a ton. So
yeah,
it was just a cute scene. It was a cute, again, one of those things where like the, some people that interact don't interact getting to be together and all that. So should we just kind of like keep talking about that like continuation of that storyline? Or is there anything else you want to talk about on that one specifically?
On Owen?
Owen, and then like just transitioning into some of the rest of the deck stuff or like those guys and that
the deck scenes are just funny. They're just good stuff. It's just good old stuff.
Yeah. The house is looking great though.
Yeah. It didn't look as CGI'd as it did last time, which is nice.
Yeah. Derek did establish that there is a contractor working on the house, but for some reason, not the deck.
No, he said basically... he told the contractor he needed to work on the deck. He's like, I need this for me. And the contractor was like, that's fine.
Also, the deck felt like it was pretty level. I don't know enough about deck building, but...
I mean, I think it doesn't... For a bottle to roll, doesn't need to be a 90-degree slant or anything. It just needs to be like... ever so gently angled poorly down.
I don't know enough about physics, nor do I know enough about bottles, nor do I know enough about decks. But I feel like a bottle is going to roll on a deck no matter how level it is.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, if I knock a bottle over on my floor.
On its side, yeah. On,
which is, in theory, level. It might roll a little bit. That actually didn't roll at all.
Well, it's filled with water. That was an empty
bottle. It's not. There's like barely any in here.
Oh, okay.
See, I feel like this would be just enough to make it roll because it's just a little bit of weight. I mean, it's not glass, but that's the main difference of my experiments. But it shouldn't roll so continuously, especially if you're like thinking about a wood deck. Like that's not perfectly like because of the divots in the wood. Yeah. That should, in theory, stop it.
Yeah, the friction.
So if gravity
alone
is getting enough to like get over the little bumps of like the spacing in the wood, then it does feel like it might be an issue. But my thing is, I'm like, does it really matter? Just sit in a chair on it. As long as your chairs aren't sliding, who cares?
Also, when you put a level out there on a deck, that bubble is pretty long. So you could still have it level, but maybe slightly off and still in the bubble.
Where you're putting it.
Yeah.
That's my issue. Is like it's going to depend on where you set the level to find out where it's wrong, but I've never built a deck.
I remember very vividly when I moved to Florida and Jess had the old apartment.
Yes.
She was hanging a picture in the bathroom and I look at it, I'm like, Jessica, that's not level. And she's like, what do you mean? Yeah, it is. And I go and I grab a level and I put it on there and I'm like, look at how terrible this is. So I just did it and I leveled it. And she's like, congratulations. You will do this forever now. And I go,
I don't
what
know,
have
Jessica,
I done?
I have seen her hang a lot of things.
Well,
and
she
never
levels
with
it
level.
Now. No, she leveled everything here that she hung up, not me. I was joking. I'm not taking any credit for it. She did it. Although, like, hold on. I own this one. I own this one. I own this one. And I own this one. So I own the majority of things. I own the White Sox thing over there. No
is
one can see
your
this.
Name tag in the box?
It's hers because it's my Disney Springs tag, then her
but
Legacy
why?
Award, and then her name tag.
Why would she not put the blue one in the box?
She just couldn't find it, but I know exactly where it is, and I told her where it was, so she hasn't done it yet. That was my first... She did this after I went to sleep one night.
She told me. She was like, I was awake at 2 a.m., and I rearranged the basement. And I was like, I can't fathom a world in which I would do any of that. Be awake or be doing physical labor.
Yeah, yeah. She the way that I have ADHD with just like... life, she has it with projects. So when
but
she got started,
her
she
inspiration
stop.
Comes at just the weirdest times.
Yeah,
she,
well, we're
what
both night. We're night people. That's the problem.
That
having
true.
A kid has stolen our most productive hours. We're night people.
Yeah, it's hard because you got to get that sleep to exist as a parent.
Yeah,
and those kids, man.
Yeah,
they're not always on board with that.
Did she show you a picture of the corner with all like the memorabilia and stuff too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
And the little Marlowe play area.
Yeah. But the moral of all of this story is she uses a level now because she's seen the benefits of making sure it's level. So, yeah. She has
we Yeah, sometimes I don't use a level because I want to do something by myself and it's not physically possible for me to hang the thing and use a level, so I'll be like, "Good luck to me."
Yeah.
Hope it's good. Because I don't want to ask for help or there's no one around to help me and I don't want to wait.
It's fair. Well, inspiration strikes when it strikes.
Sometimes you just got to hang some shit on the walls. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, with a couple minutes left before we jump into like the patience next episode or part two. So the rest of this deck scene, I like kind of where you get some resolution on... Well, let me backtrack. Jackson is clearly unhappy with what's going on with him and Mark. He feels like he's put at the sideline. Derek openly is wooing Jackson in the middle of their shared surgery.
Yep.
Where Jackson was going to do something. Mark is like, no, you will watch and you will like it.
Yeah.
And then what does Derek say? He's like, have you ever
decompressed something?
Something
spinal column or something or another.
Yeah, I have it written down. I'm so annoyed. But anyways, he
spinal hematoma.
Yes, thank you. So he does it and he asks Jackson to be lead on a different surgery. Mark catches wind of it and he's like, you know what? No, you've convinced me. This you almost leaving me has convinced me that I need you to lead on this ear surgery now.
Yeah. Well, and he's also like, to Derek, he says, you only want him because I have him. And I'm like, first of all, look in a mirror, Mark.
Yeah.
He's like, friends don't steal. And I'm like, bro, you slept with his wife. Like, I know we're all past it, but I'm like, never going to forget.
It's the ultimate... like, you have to throw it back in something. Like, you can't just not
occasionally say that. It's relevant. But I will say, good on Derek for not bringing it up. So there's
it's because he's healed. He's so healed.
Going on with Mark in this episode. If like, aside from the Sophia aspect of it. Like, Derek says, you're not getting laid, and that's why you want to teach. But then Mark... it kind of comes to light that he's still upset that he wasn't considered for the chief position. And he asked Derek, he's like, well, did you tell Richard it should have been me? And Derek's like, he did not ask me. And also, like, you don't want this job. You just had a kid, which is, I think that's true.
Yeah.
Like, I think Derek is correct. He's done the job and he knows like how taxing it can be and how much time you're going to lose. And I understand also Mark's like disappointment that it wasn't him, but at the same time, it's just like, again, back to whoever, I have to look up who said that on Patreon, but I'm like, everyone wants this job and then as soon as they get it, they hate it. So it's like, sometimes listen to the people who are have done it and they're like, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's not like the recognition piece is nice to be like, you're good at your job and we think you can handle more responsibility. Like, that's great. I like recognition. But beyond that, like, there are extra parts, extra responsibilities that are going to be difficult.
Right.
That are going to change your lifestyle both in and out of work.
And also, he's not, like, he truly is, we've seen this on the show, both him and Derek, they are artists within their field. They're, like, yes. the top of their game. Now, we don't see that with Owen. It's not like he, like, we're not being told by the writers and the universe of Grey's Anatomy that he is the greatest trauma ER surgeon that's ever lived. And we're also not being told that Weber is the greatest general surgeon who's ever lived, right? So these are people who aren't the best at what they do, but we are being told that the Marks, the Derricks, the Addisons, the Burks mm-hmm. of the world were the best at what they do. They've won awards, yeah. they're top of their game, right? So I think that's a different point to bring up too. Like, Mark is, he would have to choose between chief, a title, and his mm-hmm. skill set. And I think that's important. Derek's kind of getting to that. I don't think he gets to it really well, but he does bring up the kid thing multiple times. Mark mm-hmm. clearly is not thinking about that. So I like that moment. Also, if we rewind like 45 seconds, Mark walks up holding Sophia, yells, and he's like, you stealing my boy? Jackson, get in the car. Come on.
That part like pops into my head all the time.
Yes.
When he's like, Avery, get in the damn car. It's so funny.
Well, what's
and he
even
delivers it with such like genuine, like, of course he's going to do this. And Jackson's right. like, no.
This other grown man is just going to get in my car next to a car seat. Like,
but then Jackson's like, I pick plastics. Like, I appreciate that you're letting me do surgery, but I care more about plastics. And Mark immediately flips and he's like, oh, you're just using my friend. No one uses my friend. And I'm like, Mark, bro, you're
using my boy.
Bit.
Yeah. That so scene. Funny. I want you to know that that scene alone, I think is one of it's my top five now. Like that
so funny.
Whole from Jackson getting the car to you better not be using my boy as a stalking horse, Jackson. What? No one messes with Derek. And he also, when he's walking away and Derek's like, you can't just yell at me and then walk away. And he's like, I'm not. She just likes when I move.
The baby just likes when I move.
Oh, I just love that scene. That scene is so freaking good.
It is really good, and it's nice when we get to see the just Mark and Derek be friends again,
and then
giving each other like advice and just kind of being there for each other.
When you know those memes where it's like the girl looking at the guy laying in bed and she's like, I bet he's thinking about other women, and then it's the guy thinking like, what's wrong with my car? Or where was Gondor when the Westfold fell? You know, like stuff like that. And they have that scene where they're like, oh, what are they talking about? And I don't remember who says it, but I think Alex says to Jackson, I bet they're fighting over who's going to take you to prom.
Oh, yeah.
And then it cuts to them and it's actually like not even about Jackson. It's about like real life, and they're having a cool bro friend, best friend moment.
And I like the voiceover in that part. Derek says, sometimes you have to know when not to man up, which I do like societally think the term man up fucking is stupid. Because it's essentially man up is only ever used to be like, stop having feelings.
Right.
Which just feeds into like to the voiceover at the beginning. They say like there are scientific differences between a man's brain and a woman's brain. And like the way that like you take on a challenge or a difficulty in life are just going to be different. And I do like, that's science. It's fact. It is what it is. But like when you add on the society aspect and how historically society has like told men that feelings are bad and they can't have any emotion other than like rage. There's definitely been like a major shift in that in our lifetime. But
yeah,
I think this episode kind of opens up to that. Because they say in the beginning, they're like, we can talk about our feelings, we just don't want to, or like, we don't know how. And again, I think a lot of that leads back into the society of like, if society is always telling you not to have any feelings, then when you do, yeah, it's going to be hard to communicate them. But there's another episode like two or three seasons ago, maybe, when it was, I think it's when Owen has his flashbacks to like his platoon getting blown up, because that woman wants doctor assisted suicide. And her husband is there and Teddy's like going to help her do it. And she keeps trying to talk to her husband and he keeps saying, I don't know. And he leaves at some point and she says to either Teddy or Christina, she's like, I think when we ask them how they feel and they say they don't know, she's like, I don't think they're lying. I think they just actually don't know. And I think that's very right, true. And yeah. This kind of just reminded me of that because like Marcus clearly has a lot that he's thinking of. Derek says like, oh, you're not getting laid. But there's obviously other parts to that because Mark is really happy, like being a dad. Like he clearly loves it. He's thriving. He's doing a great job. He is.
And
doing
being a good one, too.
Still. Yeah. And like the family dynamic that he is in does present more like difficulties. Not that it's bad or anything. It's just like because it's like a two home kind of situation because yeah. he's not coupled with Callie. But I mean, they're all doing incredible co-parenting. I just think that would be an added level of difficulty that they're all like handling really well. And so there's just like clearly a lot going on and it doesn't seem like he knows where his frustrations are coming from because then he gets there and he's like, Jackson's so good. Like he can do this better than I could at his level. And I'm like, why are you mad? And why are you saying this now when Jackson has clearly been frustrated with you? Like, it just takes so much to get to the expression of the actual, like, thoughts. And I just think it's, like, they play it really well and it's interesting. And then him and Derek finally have that moment and Derek kind of talks about what he's been going through. So.
Yeah, I mean, Derek lays it on. He's like, dude, look, I lost my trial. I'm blacklisted by the FDA. Meredith and I are in a hard spot. Like, I lost Zola. There's, like, I get it. Shit sucks. And all I know how to do is come to the deck and just hammer these nails as hard as I physically can without accidentally smashing my fingers or using a saw and chopping off my brain. Like, there's a lot of things happening. I get it. But no, I think you hit the nail, the not no pun intended, the nail on the head.
The deck nail on the head.
The deck nail on the head. You hit the nail on the deck. And it's just, I love in TV and in movies when there's a true breaking down of gender norms and societal things. And
yeah,
this was 2011. Derek, Mark, Weber, and I think Hunt. I really don't know where Hunt's age falls, but Ben, Derek, and Mark I think are a little older. Obviously, Mark, Alex, and Jackson are a little bit younger, and I think Warren's are Hunt's maybe in between them a little bit, but those are all guys that would have been growing up with these not only boomer parents but like these greatest generation grandparents also pouring into their head, you know. So it's very interesting to think that this was 13, almost 14 years ago this episode came out, and this is the conversation we're having.
It still carries really well. Because what they could have done is just gone to the deck and hammered things and not had the actual feelings conversation.
Right. This is the full circle moment.
Like, they're like, oh, the deck will, like, help you, you know, get out your feelings. But then also it just leads to them opening up to each other because they all see that they all are in this space of needing something more. And so I love that they did the actual conversation and they didn't just have them, like, punch something and then be like, I feel so much better. Yeah. Like, I really just think they just really did such a great job on this episode.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll wrap this one up and we'll continue and talk maybe about the medicine in the next episode, where we will start with everyone's favorite segment.